Hey everyone, and welcome to another mini-sode of Hyperspace Broadcast, an episode of the podcast where we don't talk about something that appeared on Toonami, but instead, something else. Sometimes it's related, sometimes it's not. Much like last time with Samurai Jack, this is related in that there are robots in Robot Carnival, and there are robots in Samurai Jack, so, you know, makes perfect sense. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby. Well, everyone knows Samurai Jack is lousy with robots. That show is just crawling with them. It's practically a robot carnival.
Yeah, one could say that. So this week we watched Robot Carnival, as though the title of this episode did not give that away. It is an anthology of short films created by various anime directors, some quite well known, others I personally didn't recognize, but I'm sure that, you know, people more well-versed in this kind of stuff would. Mm-hmm. It was released in 1987 as an OVA by A3P, and surprise, surprise, it was distributed by Streamline in the U.S. In theaters. So, coincidentally, we're watching another Streamline Pictures dub.
Yeah.
And
we didn't realize until after we turned it on.
Yeah, right. Because I watched this quite a while ago, and got through the first couple segments, and then I was like, you know what, I want to cover this for the podcast because it seems pretty interesting. And that was before I was aware of what Streamline Pictures was exactly.
And I had actually purchased this independently. They released a new version in 2015 by Discotech Media, which was a more authentic version, basically. Streamline did a little bit of changing to this.
Yeah, right. So basically,
major.
Yeah. They reordered the segments. Again, it's a series of short films put together. So this doesn't really matter that much as far as, you know, there's no continuity between them at all. So airing them out of order doesn't make a huge amount of difference. I mean, you could make the argument that, like, I don't know, the juxtaposition between them is meaningful in some way, but essentially the reason they did this is because as they were distributing it to theaters and they were given basically each short on its own reel, from what I understand, they divvied it up so that it would, you know, take up as few reels as possible, because distributing more reels costs more money and you're kind of just throwing money away at that point. So we will be going through by the Streamline segment order, but just for curiosity's sake, the original order was the opening, of course, Franken's Gears, Deprive, Presence, Starlight Angel, Cloud, Strange Tales of Meiji Machine Culture, A Westerner's Invasion, and Chicken Man and Redneck. And then I guess the close-in segments as well.
Yeah.
There are also some other minor edits. Apparently, the opening of the movie is this giant vehicle basically crawling across the desert and just destroying this, like, village of humans that are living in this kind of post-apocalyptic wasteland.
It's a gargantuan automated vehicle with the giant words Robot Carnival across it.
Yeah,
and it just, like, launches fireworks and has all this cool, like, little, like, robot tinkery kind of
shit. Yeah, robot dancers and stuff that fly off of it and then explode in the village, destroying it.
Lots of pyrotechnics that, to humanity's detriment.
Yeah, right. So, in the one of the edits made anyway is that there were a bunch of still shots of the Robot Carnival, you know, while it was still pre-apocalypse, I guess, when it was, like, cool and fun and not this crazy engine of destruction
and not this destructive remnant of the past.
Yeah,
automated,
right.
Now to humanity's agony.
Yeah. So but of course those images included kanji. So Streamline removed them because they generally removed kanji in order to, I guess, Japanese. Americanize things for some reason.
Yeah.
Also, the closing credits are different because there was not an existing neutral credits track. So they had to make their own, basically.
And so instead we get this, like, stupid looking font interstitial for every short film.
Yeah.
The title.
I mean,
like orange, which is fine.
Yeah, whatever. It's they choose a different font each time, and you know, it's just standard. There's nothing to even say about that. The credits have like concept art from the various shorts next to the credits for the individual shorts, which is kind of nice. So I guess if you want to see literally everything that this movie has to offer, you have to watch both versions, because that's not in the original, I guess. It's also worth mentioning that the opening and closing segments were both directed by Katsuhiro Otomo of Akira fame. Also, guess who localized Akira, Peter?
I don't know.
Streamline.
Oh, so the old dub. There are two dubs for Akira.
Oh, really? Okay. Well,
there's one that's pretty quite good, the Pioneer dub, and then there's Streamline Pictures dub, which is apparently like so fucking cheesy that it became like a so bad it's good movie.
Oh, great. Okay.
Which makes me upset to think about.
Well,
like people
okay.
swear by that dub because it's funny.
I did not realize there were two dubs.
Yeah.
But okay. Yeah, sure. Surprising.
Like, oh, no. I love this movie.
Yeah, so it's two dubs by two different companies that no longer exist. Fun
it's
stuff.
It's like if someone dubbed over The Godfather and made like a stupid version of The Godfather.
Sure, yeah. Anyway, so of course we have the opening segment. The second segment is called Franken's Gears. It is basically about a mad scientist, kind of Frankenstein dude, bringing a robot to life, and then the robot mimics him and eventually falls on him and crushes him. It's an interesting segment. What's cool about this is that a lot of the segments don't have dialogue really at all.
Yeah, so, most of them are silent.
Yeah, there are only two with dialogue, so really it's not that different watching it dubbed, except for those two segments, because otherwise it's just sort of silent. The second short is called Starlight Angel. It's about a pair of girls visiting a robot-themed amusement park before one realizes that the other is dating her boyfriend, or like ex-boyfriend. It's not super clear.
Her ex-boyfriend, Shar Aznable.
Her ex-boyfriend who looks much older and, yes, looks exactly like Shar in a nice suit and no mask or sunglasses.
Yeah.
So she runs off and she's like followed by this robot from the park who has retrieved her dropped necklace and turns out to be a dude.
And they go and like they fly and have this like Peter Pan moment of fun and forgetting the bullshit, and then
they're attacked by a giant fucking robot.
yeah and then he has to save the day, and like he reveals that he's a dude, I guess.
And then, you know, at the end it's like now they're together, so cool. From one dude to another, I guess. What's interesting about this is actually, I think, my favorite short of this bunch.
Yeah, I really like it. It's really charming.
Yeah, it's charming. One thing that I was not aware of while watching it, though it makes a lot of sense, is directed by Hiroyuki Kitazume, who was also the character designer for Gundam Double Zeta. So,
oh, wow.
I actually, I was like, this work looks familiar, and that's why. And apparently, according to the liner notes of the soundtrack, it is influenced by the style of A-ha's Take On Me music video, which I watched again just before this recording, and that is a weird music video.
I don't see how it's influenced visually by that.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Like,
it's like such like sketchy kind of comic-y art. It's like drawn in real time or whatever.
My guess would be that it's more like possibly not the
I mean, it could be like
it might be like the narrative
videos,
style.
Yeah, or more than both the visual videos style. Are like a guy takes a somewhat distraught woman on an adventure through a mysterious crazy thing.
Yeah, right. Through like a non-reality world.
Yeah.
So I would guess that that's more the case, but
yeah, okay.
At any rate, I really like Starlight Angel. I can't really explain why. It just worked for me.
Music's nice, too.
Yeah, the music's nice. Of course, all of these have really well-done animation.
It's needless to say, like, just very high quality.
Yeah,
lots
right,
of, like,
right.
tiny little details and little movement effects and particles and stuff. all, of course, Cell Animation.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, short films, well, generally, you know.
All Cell Animation except perhaps the next one, which is kind of a
rough
etching style.
Yeah, it's called Cloud. I like this one quite a bit, too.
Yeah, Cloud is great.
Cloud is, like, it's hard to even explain exactly.
It uses borders a lot, too. Like, the
Black, like picture-in-picture picture kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, like, kind of like a, you're looking at a picture frame of this, like, little boy robot walking, and then these, like, and then he kind of goes to the corner of the screen and is still walking as you see all these clouds that he's passing and these shapes and crazy things that form in the clouds and animations and stuff. It's really beautiful and just like,
yeah, for sure.
Pretty much completely silent except for like the sounds of wind.
Right. Yeah. And what's, you know, and all the background stuff is like pencil, like kind of scratchboard animation, which looks really good. I think the robot is cell animation still,
yeah,
but
yeah,
I don't know. It's a beautiful work. I will admit that I didn't really understand it totally. Mm-hmm. But it is like, to an extent, when I'm watching a short film that doesn't have dialogue, there's a thing where I can just kind of detach myself from it and just experience it rather than trying to like figure it out necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which of course, I mean, I guess what I'm learning this month of recording this podcast is that I really like silent movies or silent animation anyway. So the polar opposite of Cloud is what follows it, Deprive, which is this 80s as fuck, like,
oh, yeah.
You know, girl kidnapped by aliens and then saved by a robot who can also look like a super buff, like 80s haired dude.
Yeah, like total like 80s anime dude.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. The
it's awesome,
the alien is also just like the most insane design. Yeah. Like mohawk, yeah, blue skin, half metal face kind of shit.
Yeah, like he's fantastic. He's like glam metal too, kind of look.
Yeah, right. I feel like he could be great, like a background character in heavy metal, like,
yeah,
that's pretty much what he looks like. And then it turns out, oh, the robot was like the robot that the girl had as a kid, and it's been upgraded to fucking save her and destroy these other crazy huge robots that are covered in guns.
And it's like action packed, and yeah, the robots he fights are ridiculous. Like these huge hulking robots that seem to just have little compartments that pop open and are just full of so many guns that they can't be crammed in. Like,
yeah, right.
So many guns that they're like pointing out everywhere, and
it looks like someone, like, you know, like a kid trying to pick up their room just by shoving everything into the closet.
Yeah,
like, that's
but
pretty
guns.
Much what it is. Yeah, except that the kid only has guns.
It's ridiculous and over the top and pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's very awesome. 80s, the music too. Yeah, it's it's fun. It was not my favorite, but it's too crazy not to like a little bit.
Yeah.
Following that is Presence, and this is the point where basically we have the two dialogue heavy shorts back to back.
Presence is interesting because it starts with like a bunch of little school kids just like fucking kicking this robot man's head off, and then just kicking it across the street as he's like, whoa, help me, what's going on, and just torturing this poor man.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. And then they just like punt him into the sky, and it seems like there's like low gravity or something. They're like, well, he's never going to come down from there.
Yeah, it's like kicking kicking a man's head into the air like a soccer ball while he's like, stop.
Please help me. I couldn't understand if that was technically part of Presence or not.
I don't know. I guess.
The world of Presence is interesting because it's like very like, kind of looks like turn of the century London kind of,
yeah,
kind of,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. But there's like robots and hover cars.
Yeah,
I like the
yeah.
visual style of it quite a bit, but the story of this is essentially that this man is like trying to find a connection he's missing with his family by building like a robot girl secretly, and then she becomes a little too human for his liking, so he destroys her, and then it flashes forward to the future where he's like reminiscing, basically
haunted by it.
Now I will say, what's interesting about this is I actually think I might prefer the dub, simply because this is so clearly set in England and they actually have everyone doing a passable accent. Like,
yeah,
the accent sounds pretty good. The character designs are a little weird, particularly on the man, particularly when he's old.
When he's old, it's, yeah, it's like they melted an action figure and then like added fluffy eyebrows to it.
Yeah, pretty much. That's a really good description, actually. But, you know, of course, like all these, the animation's beautiful. The robot girl animation in particular is worth noting. There's like one scene where she's standing in the winds and her semi-transparent ribbon in her hair is like fluttering around.
Yeah.
And it, I don't know, there's something about that that looks really great.
I liked Presence a lot. It was a little odd, but it's like, I like that you kind of see, you don't see him destroy yeah, the robot girl. And then it cuts to the, you know, in the future, he sees a vision of her and then sees her like blowing up in what I imagine are like the places he smashed her with his wrench.
With the big old wrench.
And something about the like panic that this guy has when he's when he realizes she's not only sentient, but like kind of loves him and wants to connect to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that like scares him and he like throws her off and then just freaks out.
Yeah, it bashes her up. And also at the end, he leaves his earthly wife, I guess, to go.
Yeah, that was weird. It's kind of like, fuck you to the old lady wife.
Yeah, I mean,
she like takes him and, you know, I guess he dies.
Yeah, right. I mean, I imagine it's more symbolic than anything, but I like I like the literal interpretation where he's just like, goodbye. Gonna live with this robot.
I always prefer my cool robot girl. No, she's back to get me.
Yeah, right. Following that are the two shorts that have different names depending on the version. First, we have The Strange Tales of Meiji Machine Culture, A Westerner's Invasion, which is retitled A Tale of Two Robots, Chapter 3, Foreign Invasion, in the streamlined
robots?
Release. Yeah, robots.
Tale of Two Robots.
You've never heard it pronounced like that before?
Robots?
Yeah.
No. This one's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of giant robot stuff in, like, feudal Japan. I think that's...
It's like in 19th century Japan.
Yeah, sure,
And it's really cool. Like, all the robots are just, like, made of all this, like, straw and all sorts of other shit. Or, like, straw baskets and stuff.
Yeah, right. Wood and all that
wood
stuff.
Brick. And... this one's interesting and a little odd in how they choose to voice act it. A little unfortunate, maybe. I kind of get it. So in the original, it's just like there's these like Japanese teenagers who all pilot this robot against this like crazed foreigner man who speaks English in the Japanese version. Like to the point where they have like subtitles etched in to the cell.
That's true. You know, I'm surprised that they didn't excise all of the shots of him while he's talking.
Yeah.
Because it's too Japanese.
Whoa, Japanese. And he is like fucking insane. Like his eyes are going everywhere and he's just like screaming about how he's like the best and he's gonna crush the Japanese or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And then, you know, our Japanese heroes rise to save the day, but they're also like
kind
fumbling
of fuck-ups,
and incompetent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you just have these like fuck ups just trying to shoot at each other and end up destroying most of the town.
Right.
But
the dub makes
the
bad decision of making everyone have like a Japanese accent voice, which I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's one of those things.
Like whatever.
It's not, to be honest, it wasn't like that bad.
Yeah, it wasn't like super racist characterization
like
or whatever.
It seemed like
but...
they were trying actually, but it's still pretty awkward, frankly.
Yeah, it's awkward and it just doesn't sound great.
Yeah, right.
And like it kind of makes sense, you know. It's like the sort of, and like in the that it's kind of the reverse in the Japanese version.
Right.
You have this ridiculous English speaking character.
Sure.
And then in this one you have these ridiculous, I guess, Japanese characters. But I don't know, it's kind of interesting though, because it's got like the style is kind of reminiscent of World War II propaganda. You see like I think these are generally the times that they would harken back to in the 30s.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. It makes sense anyway.
It's like, oh, this is our golden era. Look at this. And the purity of Japanese culture and all that. But they lampoon it pretty well. The main character, like, gets out after, like, they both lose pretty much.
Yeah, both robots tumble into a river.
Yeah, he gets out and he, like, looks at the sunset and he's like, oh, look, the rising imperial sun of Japan. And the girl's just like, that's a sunset, you idiot.
Yeah.
And, like, just the whole thing, they're just kind of bumbling and it's pretty fun. I love the visual design of it, just the concept of, you know, kind of out of place time era robot battling.
Yeah, I totally agree. I like this one a lot too, visually. But yes, the dub aspect of it is a little uncomfortable. Although I will point out that one of the voice actors, the voice of Denjiro in this segment, is also the voice of Goldar from Power Rangers. And
great.
Yeah, and once again, I went down this
Rangers.
I mostly brought it up because I knew you would do that impression.
Okay,
but. You know, I went down the rabbit hole of like, I went down the rabbit hole of like, oh, these voice actors also voiced other characters in other works. What a shocker.
Yeah. You know. the classic hyperspace broadcast. Like, whoa.
Yeah. The craziness of this thing that makes total sense and is completely normal. So finally, we have Chicken Man and Redneck, retitled Nightmare in the Streamline release. This one, too, is sort of hard to explain. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just overthinking it, but...
It's kind of like in the middle of the night or something, all these robots kind of... At least it makes it look like completely takes over the city and starts, like, shooting lightning bolts of energy that produces
more robots and stuff.
And kind of the giant robot in the center of the city makes a smaller robot that kind of looks like Crow from Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, he's, oh like, my god, totally.
Flying around, flying around with a red cape, acting as like the Johnny Appleseed of
making
animatronic
robots?
Singularity. Yeah. Yeah, just throwing green energy that makes things into like cobbled together metal robots. And they're just kind of like dancing around and it's really crazy and weird and very visually based.
Mm-hmm.
This
drunken
man kind of gets up from his stupor and just tries riding his scooter around trying to escape
escaping the crowbot.
Yeah, escaping the crowbot, all the attacking machines and shit.
Yeah, and this man looks a lot like Ichabod Crane. That aside, we have the ending, which is the robot carnival vehicle kind of falling apart as it tries to crest this dune.
Yeah, it just runs into a dune that's too tall for its massive
steep. And falls apart.
Eventually just like overworks itself getting to the top and completely falls apart and collapses.
Yes, and then a man, this like scavenger guy, picks up part of it and brings it home to his family.
Yeah,
and it's just like
sphere.
This orb. Yeah, right. And it turns out to be a little robotic music box that has a dancer in it.
The whole family's delighted as the little dancer like flies around and sparkles and everything.
Yeah,
and then it just
jumps
explodes
up.
And kills all of them. And the robot carnival fucking claims yet another victim even after its demise.
Yep. Which I was somewhat pleased in that when I was watching this, the thing is like going and they're all just looking at it like, you know, in awe. I was just, it's going to explode. It's going to explode. It's going to explode. It's going to kill them all.
Felt bad. The whole family was
works.
So happy.
Exactly.
Dad smoking a cigar, just like, look at my weird post-apocalyptic children having fun. They all blow up and the alpaca lives.
Yeah, right. And we have the giant words, the end. And thus ends Robot Carnival. Although in the original version, this was at the end of the credits instead of kind of all together. This, in this case, being the scavenger part.
Finally, the menace that is Robot Carnival has been erased.
Yeah, unless that the end thing kind of starts up and becomes its own mini Robot Carnival.
Yeah, I can believe it.
And then, to be fair, the end is a lot more fitting because it is destroying everything.
Yeah. I do like that idea, just the concept in general of this, like, bygone gigantic automated entertainment device. This automated carnival on wheels, like after an apocalypse, no one's controlling it and it's just running over towns. It's crazy. I actually really enjoyed this though. It's a nice like little compilation, fun little short movies. Nothing like completely groundbreaking and like shit shattering, but certainly a fun thing to watch, especially if you're into animation and robots.
Yeah, of course. Like, you know, this was a big draw for me because I really like mechs, and so just seeing a thing. I mean, obviously these aren't really mechs, but it's the same kind of principle. Just like crazy looking robots that have really nice mechanical design. I enjoyed this quite a bit too. As I said, I think Starlight, whatever, was my favorite. Yeah, that, you know, that thing that I can even remember the title
it's
of.
It's Starlight Angel. I keep wanting to say Starlight Express, the which is that the musical where people pretend to be trains riding around on roller skates.
All right. Not familiar with that one, but...
It's by the guy who made Cats. It's Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh. All right. It's sounds bad. Very weird. But, yeah, no, I enjoyed this quite a bit. I will say that as far as the, like, random anime that I have found on Amazon Prime streaming, you can do a lot worse.
yeah.
For example, you can watch Lily Cat, which I did, but...
Just cheeseball fucking OVA. Yeah.
Cheeseball aliens, basically. But yeah, no, this is solid, especially considering that I knew literally nothing about it before watching it. So I'd check it out. Although, maybe, I don't know, like, I'm not sure that I think that the streamlined version's, like, worse necessarily, because so much of it is silent. So there isn't really that much of a difference.
Yeah, but I much prefer this streamlined version to the streamlined version of Castle of Cagliostro.
Sure. Yeah,
this
so
one is like,
it's probably worth watching.
Yeah, and I don't think you need to buy the DVD if you can have Amazon Prime.
Yeah, right. So, robots aside, next week, Samurai Jack Season 3, where he's going to cut up a bunch of robots. We're going from robots being kind of nice in most of these to them always being evil.
Oh,
and being
not
destroyed by
always.
The truckload.
One episode where they were nice.
Yeah, I guess there were those robot cities that just got destroyed by other robots, too.
Yeah, they got killed by the evil robots. The only ones left are evil ones. It's fine.
Yeah, right. The ones that we see, for the most part, being horribly destroyed are evil, for the most part. But, you know, excited to get back to Samurai Jack. Who knows what we're going to watch for our next minisode, but, you know, we'll watch something. Until then, I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And be sure to revisit us next week.